Thank you for listening to Voices of Grace. I'm Ryan Peterson. I'm with the Communications Department at Grace Community Church, and our goal here with each and every episode is to profile followers of Jesus who are on mission and showing Jesus's love to others. And today I'm joined by two friends of mine who I love dearly, Doug and Amy Williams. Doug and Amy, along with their three kids, Zach, Lily, and Story, who I feel like have gotten taller and taller every time I see them. They have been missionaries in Italy for the past 5 years now. I can't believe it's been that long. They are back home for a short visit. They were kind enough to take some time to talk with me today. Doug and Amy, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for letting us come.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about the challenges of moving your family to Italy and all that came with that decision. But first, can we talk a little bit about your personal stories? And Amy, you go first. Where did you grow up? A little bit of background on your childhood, and when did you come to know Jesus?
Yeah, I'm a Tylerite, born and raised. So I've been from Tyler my entire life. And I came to know the Lord. I pretty much grew up at Green Acres Baptist Church. That's where we were members when I was a child. And so I made a decision for the Lord there during VBS at the age of 8 years old. And but I will say the Lord really got a hold of me when I was about 16 regarding my faith. And so I had a chance to sing with a group called Continental Singers at the time, where I traveled all over Europe. And it was my first chance to see the world outside of Tyler and to really be like on mission and do something for the Lord in a way that I had never done before. And the Lord really opened up my eyes to the world and what serving him could look like. And so at the age of 16, I actually made a rededication to the Lord, and I was baptized a second time. I asked my dad to do that for me. Just to really like say to myself and to the world, I'm choosing this for me.
Yeah.
Not just, this isn't just the faith of my parents, but this is something that I want for my life, for the rest of my life.
And Doug, what about you?
Yeah, I was a Mississippi boy.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
I grew up in southern Mississippi, actually, kind of like the Tom Sawyer Huck Finn thing. And all through my childhood, we moved around quite a bit. But I was raised in a small country Baptist church where the pastor was passionate. He was very passionate about what he preached, particularly Jesus. That's what I remember. He would get red in the face. He would cry. He was very emotional. He's a big guy. When he wasn't preaching or pastoring at the church, he was chopping wood in the woods. So that's epic for a little boy.
Yeah.
To see that emotion, that love for Christ. So that just rocked my world. It changed me. And so I've made a decision to follow Jesus, but it wasn't the only time. I got saved like 5 or 6 times growing up as a kid. I wasn't quite sure I had said it just right. And I got baptized like 3 times. But the point is that I really wanted to follow Jesus, and I wanted the kind of love that my pastor had, Brother Mike, when I was a boy. And so, like I said, we moved a lot when I was a boy. My dad was working in construction, so that took us from Mississippi to Texas. And I thought I wanted to be a singer when I moved to Texas. I was singing in church a lot. And I thought, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. But little did I know, God was setting me up to marry a singer.
I was going
to
say, I thought Amy was the singer.
She is.
He sang at our wedding.
Right. I agreed to.
We sang to each other.
So, yeah. So that was the beginning of my story. And then, you know, Amy and I met after I had gone to college. I started college with a singing scholarship.
And where was that at?
That was in Jacksonville College, just down the road here.
Yeah.
I had a scholarship to sing there in the choir, and I enjoyed it. I did quite well, but I felt my attention changing during that time because my English professor was also a pastor here in the area. And I don't know why he saw this in me, but he asked me to work with the youth as an intern. And so once I dipped my foot in there, you know, about working with young people or just presenting God's word and teaching the scriptures, I really started loving it. And, well, by the time I met Amy, we were both working at Lifeway Christian Store here in Tyler. I was working in the Bible department. She was working in the music department. And as the manager said, she was spending way too much time in the Bible department. So there you have it.
Okay, so when did you guys get married?
2005.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what? How did you guys get connected at Grace? And for those of you, if you don't remember, Amy, one of our best singers on the worship team, you actually sang this morning.
Yes.
As this is recorded before they're headed back. But how did you guys get connected at Grace?
Well, I had attended Grace many years ago when I was in college. They had a great service there when Gary Brandenburg was still pastor, and they did Saturday night services and Bible studies for college students. And so I had been connected in that way. And when we had been in Dallas for several years while Doug was in seminary, and when we came back to Tyler after seminary, we pretty much decided we wanted to find a church that was very similar than what to the church we had been attending in Dallas. And Grace really ticked all those boxes for us. And of course, I'd had the connection of being a part of the church years before. And we just really found a home there. We came in immediately and we started, I think I was singing on the praise team within a month of us really doing membership class. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we didn't do membership class until like 3 years after.
Right,
we started
they were wondering, they were asking us, why are you doing this now? Yeah.
We had been going there for like 3 years and we show up for the membership class and they were like, why are you here? You're already a member. But we just found family there and it fit us and it fit mm-hmm. our family. And Doug was serving in the missions department. Mm-hmm. He was helping a lot doing things like taking missionaries to the airport and picking people up. And I was singing in the praise team. And so we were able to serve there 6 or 7 years before leaving for Italy.
Okay, so I'm glad you just said that. Doug, is that kind of, because my next question, then how did you guys come to the point where, okay, we're going to be missionaries ourselves? Was it you, your experiences, I guess, helping other missionaries that pulled your heart?
Right. Well, Amy, one evening we were in our living room and Amy told me, oh, by the way, I just signed you up for a mission trip.
Okay.
to go to Mombasa, Kenya. And this is obviously a trip that Grace takes a lot. Mm-hmm. They've been going for years now to work with the Grists over there.
Yes.
Lighthouse for Christ. Mm-hmm. And she said, just casually, right, I signed you up for this next mission trip. I was like, oh, thank you. So we had to do some fundraising, things like that for that. We had a huge garage sale and some other stuff that we raised money for on that. But in the meantime, this was something we couldn't plan. There was a group that I was connected with through social media of other younger men that were following Jesus. And they were living in not only in different states, but different countries in the world. It was a small, closed group that I'd met in an interesting way. But we were talking for several months, and there was this young man who was from Iran that was following Christ. And he was the only Christian in his family. He was raised by devout Muslim parents, and none of his friends even knew that he was a believer. He had a little Bible under his mattress that he would hide there and take it out and read it. And he was just in love with Jesus. And so here we were in this closed group talking about Christ daily online.
Yeah.
And so he told me that he had a full scholarship to go to the Politecnico, which is the technical university in Milan, Italy. And I was like, wow, that's so exciting. I was excited because for the first time in his believing life, he'd be able to at least worship freely, you know, because in Iran it's quite dangerous. But so I thought, well, how can we get him connected to somebody in Italy, a mentor, a church? I'd never been to Italy before. So the first person I asked was Pastor Doug. If he knew of anyone that was in Italy that was either a believer or a church that I could connect my friend with. And so Doug was telling me, well, we've been supporting missionaries for 30 years that started a church in Milan, Italy, where my friend was going to go. And so Doug put me in touch with a missionary there, and that just started the ball rolling of communication, and we thought it was going to be about helping my friend. And in the 6 months we were communicating with this missionary, what was happening was they were recruiting us. We flew to Italy for a 10-day vision trip just to see what it would be like after they suggested it to us. And then after we went to Italy, our eyes were open and we saw that this was a place that God was working and perhaps he could use us there.
And the connection to the Mombasa trip was that trip actually got canceled at that time because terrorism was so bad in the country and they weren't able to take that trip. So we were able to go back to Grace and say, we have all these funds that we were going to do and to go on this trip.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Can we take a vision trip to Italy with these funds and see if this is an opportunity for our family to do something full time? And I think we had exactly what we needed to the dollar to do those 10 days. And so, so what I thought was a Holy Spirit moment of him going to Africa really wound up being the portal to doing something completely different. And it was a huge lesson for me in the fact that whatever you're planning to do, just don't get set in those plans, because God's definitely going to move you in a different direction.
How difficult, I mean, trying to put myself in your shoes and other families that I've talked to that have become missionaries overseas, how difficult is that decision when you have a family, right. you have three children, you have family here,
right.
because you're truly, I mean, you're dying to yourself and what's comfortable to be on mission. How difficult was it to be like, okay, we're actually going to do this? It's one thing to say, this is a great idea, we're going to get the ball rolling, but to actually, we're doing this.
Yeah. Well, you're always lighter if it's just you. I mean, but if you're carrying a whole family, that's an extra wide load
absolutely.
Turn corners with. The kids were so young, they weren't able to process it really mentally or emotionally, but there were moments where, like, I can remember Zach laying in his bunk bed, and I mentioned that it wouldn't be long before we were going to leave. And he just started crying and saying he didn't want to leave what was familiar. Mm-hmm. But back then, they didn't really, couldn't process it. But that took us a couple of years to not just be ready financially, but to be ready spiritually and emotionally. What would you say?
Yeah, our preparation season was almost 3.5 years from the time that we took our vision trip to the time that we actually left to go and do full-time service was a waiting period of 3.5 years. I think even at our commissioning service, we talked about there were times in our life where we felt like God was saying no. We would plateau in our fundraising. Things just didn't seem to move forward, and it felt like a no in the moment. But the wisdom that the Lord really gave us years later was, it wasn't no, it was wait. Mm-hmm. And his no really was a yes, because he was saying no to right now, but he was saying yes to, there's things that I'm doing in you to prepare you for what's ahead. Mm-hmm. And that time was such a gift to our family. It was an incredible blessing. Mm-hmm. There's been times that we've had on the field where we've been in those plateau seasons, and we mm-hmm. have been in those moments where we feel stuck. Mm-hmm. And we can reach back to that preparation season, and we can say, God was so faithful in that before. And we know, without a shadow of doubt, he's going to be faithful again. Mm-hmm. So that season for us, that waiting season, that not yet season, was so vital. God taught us so many things in that space.
But I don't think you can really feel the impact on the liftoff. You mm-hmm. feel it mm-hmm. when you land. Mm-hmm. And so that's really when we felt it, when we landed in Italy and we saw everything was different. We heard everything was different. We felt everything was different. And just trying to navigate, again, not by yourself, but a whole family, and just learning how to order a family around, you know, organize a family around.
We had to learn how to be a family again, because prior to leaving, we were so distracted with so many things in our life. We were always so busy. Doug and I were working between the two of us 4 jobs before we left for the field. Our kids were involved in school activities. If we were scared about it, I guess we didn't realize it because we were so busy.
You didn't have time to think about
it. Yeah, just didn't have time to think about it, just getting prepared. And then you get to that moment when you land into a new country and all of those distractions are gone and you're kind of sitting in a room together, the 5 of us, and our kids are watching cartoons in Italian for the first time.
Teen Titans Go.
And we're trying to navigate this thing together. And you just get this reality that kind of hits you in the face of, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Right.
We are in this together. We really are. And we have to hold tight to each other.
And you're laying on top of each other, figuratively speaking. And for the kids, it was almost literal, because the first apartment we got into in the city of Bologna, where we studied for 18 months on the Italian language, all three of them were in the room together, and there was no space in the room to do bunk beds, things like that. They were just literally side by side in little twin beds. So, yeah, it was.
It was a lot of navigating, a lot of I don't knows, and we're going to figure this out as we go together in the early days.
Mm-hmm. And then in the midst of all that, you guys were basically going through a COVID before we were. Mm-hmm. On this side, and I know there were some dark days. I mean, how much did that change and make it even more difficult? And you don't have the family and friends and community that you had here to get you through that. And I know the death that you saw and the things that, how hard was that moment with COVID? And what was that, 2020? Trying to remember, or when did that start with you guys?
Yeah, that was incredibly hard. We had transitioned from Bologna to our current city where we are now. And we had been there about 6 months before COVID hit. So we had just kind of unpacked the boxes, just starting to get to know our community, work our way around.
And that's where, which city
were
you in?
That was Cernusco Sono Vecchio, which is just northeast of Milan.
Okay.
And just starting to kind of get to know our city, getting involved in volunteering and things like that. And then I just happened to go to the grocery store on a night in February 2020, and the shelves were empty. And I text Doug and I said, I don't know what's going on, but all of the shelves are empty. It seems like there's something big going on. Everybody has cleaned out the grocery store, and they're telling us to go home because the parks are closing. Mm-hmm. And I knew they were at the park, and I texted him. I said, you guys have got to get home. They're telling me here at the grocery store that there's a curfew. We have to be home by a certain time, and all the parks are closing tonight. And that's kind of where it started, and we thought it would last for a week or two or maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it wound up being literally 18 months. So,
wow. I remember the kids not being able to play outside the building that we were living in at all. They would ride their bikes around and play ball in the little cortile, the courtyard of our building.
Okay.
And just the feeling of confinement, you know, just the strictness of life in those minds. And Italians, they're by nature gregarious people. They kiss each other on the cheek three times. They eat outdoors. They circulate together. Life is outside for them. But it vastly changed that culture right before our very eyes. So that was surreal to see an outside culture go inside.
And we went from seeing people kiss each other in the piazza to standing in lines at the grocery store with a woman taking a tape measure, measuring us 6 feet apart, and telling us that we had to stay. Armed guards would walk places throughout our neighborhood. Military trucks would come through with a megaphone telling us to be home by a certain time. It's like life just changed overnight, mm-hmm. and it became a true lockdown situation. And I'll never forget Easter that year. Mm. Every Easter, the bells ring out from our city. They just start in the morning, dun, 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 dun. Professing that Jesus is risen. And all we heard that morning was death bells. And so what they do in our city is they play kind of like a minor key drone bell when they announcing to the city that someone has passed away. And that went on for months. And that was the only thing we heard, that or the sound of ambulances. We have a city park right behind our home, so if we throw our windows open, you could always hear children playing. And there was just silence, nothing really but birds chirping, and it was just our city was silent. And so it was like that for many months. I don't think we even realized how much it had affected us until months later.
But as parents, we could see that it was affecting the kids a lot.
Yeah, and our kids weren't allowed to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they were asking a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
spiritual questions about God and why would he bring us over here to help the Italians if we can't even see the Italians for now? And they were angry about it. And that was on a spiritual level, but on a physical level even, it touched our youngest child, Story. She had some anxiety starting to brew about it, and then she was in the shower one day during the harsher months of the pandemic, and she just couldn't catch her breath. She started coughing, couldn't catch her breath in the shower, and she thought, man, I've got COVID. So she was terrified. She came out of the shower and We couldn't calm her down. She passed out. We called the ambulance for the first time in Italian, trying to navigate through that. And Amy went to the hospital with her. She was at the hospital overnight. She stayed there, and she was wheeled past the COVID wing there. And she was in a state where she couldn't see or hear because of, she was just blocked up by anxiety. And so because of that experience and because of all of the unknowns, I think they suffered from some trauma during those months.
And in that time, you guys were supposed to have a trip to come home, and so you didn't get to.
Yeah.
And I know that was very difficult on you guys and had to be very deflating. So in the midst of all that, do you feel like you came closer to God, or how were you guys able to get through that?
The Lord really used that because we kept getting messages from the consulate saying, this is your last opportunity to get out of Italy. If you're an American citizen, this is the time to go. And we prayed about it really seriously, and we chose to stay. Okay. We felt like it was the right thing for us to do, to be with our neighbors. And if we felt like our Italian friends and our neighbors were going to go through it, we were going to go through it with them. Again, we thought it would be for a short period. We right. never realized how long we would be delayed. So the Lord really used that decision in a beautiful way. We had many of our Italian friends that would message us and say, well, when are you headed back to America? And we said, no, we're here. We're here with you. We're doing this and with you. Mm-hmm. And that really, I think, opened up so many doors to relationships. Mm-hmm. God really used that, and the fact that we went through the pandemic right alongside our friends and neighbors.
If for nothing else, but for it to make an impact on us, how the Italians were responding to it. Because it was a serious thing for them not to let your nonna, your grandmother, get sick, you know, to take all the precautions, because you could take this home to nonna and she could get sick. And that's what kept them so strict about it. And that really made an impression on us, that they were that serious about it.
So what does life look like for you guys now? It's not to the extreme it was. I don't know if you still have any issues over there now. Is everything kind of back to normal?
Yeah, it's okay. Really opening up now, and it's a beautiful thing. We like this year we traveled and we didn't have any restrictions. Right. We didn't have to show vaccine records. Okay, we didn't have to test before traveling. And things really are opened up again. In that season during the pandemic, most all of our churches were closed down, and we were not. They were all meeting on Zoom or on video calls, and now everybody's back to meeting in person, which is great.
Yeah.
So how have you guys seen God moving now with what you're doing? And, yeah. and do you have a story or two that you'd want to share?
Sure. Well, from day one, when we went to Cernusco Sonnaviglio, we chose that city because we were just driving through. And few people choose to do ministry in a place that just drive through, but we just had a feeling that this was a closed center of life where people were going to be together out in the open. You know, this was before the pandemic, of course, but this was a place outside of the larger city of Milan where people were doing life together. And we thought, well, we would like to live here and do life. And so from the first day, we didn't intend to start an institution or something to put a sign on the door or something where people could come to. We wanted to inject ourselves into the life of the Italians on a more organic level.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cheesy, but what we did was we found Facebook groups where lots of Cernuschesi were together. And so I remember finding a group and posting a picture of us standing in front of a moving van. And I made a post and said, we're the new American family in town. And we love this city. It's beautiful. We would love to meet some of you if you want to have a coffee. And surprisingly, tons of people responded to that. People were gracious. And that kind of kickstarted everything. And what happened was God put us in places where we were volunteering a lot, helping through even the Catholic organizations. And that's become primarily our mode of ministry in the city, is because there's no evangelical church there or people that are like us. We've been working through the Catholic organizations. And so that's been a beautiful way that God's been forming our time there.
And I would say, too, the Lord has opened up a lot of doors for us to be able to work alongside the people that things that were already happening in that city. So one of the main things that we did when we first got there is that we made a list of all the volunteer opportunities that were in the city, and we just started visiting associations one by one and saying, what fits us? How could we fit into this? The philosophy that we kind of went into was this: if you want to build a basketball court, and you say, do I want to build a basketball court and put up a sign and say, hey, everyone, please come and play at my basketball court? Or do you go into a place and you ask someone, where is the local basketball court? Where can I go and play? I would really like to join what's happening there. And that's the approach that we've really wanted to take, is mm-hmm. to really come alongside the good things that are already happening in our city and be a part of that. Not necessarily start something that's led by us, but to join the things that the Italians are already doing.
Mm-hmm. And that's surprising and refreshing for the Italians, because first of all, we don't look like them and we don't worship like them. We're not Catholic. But we weren't there to plant a flag either.
Yeah.
You know, that's different, diverse from them. That was surprising and refreshing for them. So we've made a lot of relationships through that openness and that honesty. You know, like Lorenzo, who manages the bottega that we've been volunteering through. I remember it was one of the colder months when we went to meet with him, and the bottega was set up while we were here last summer in the States. Well, the bottega is kind of like a food pantry, and it's super organized. And it's not just in Cernusco, but the Catholic Church in most every Italian city has it going on. But it was organized in such a way where people who needed assistance had a card, and they'd come in and they would spend their points on a certain amount of groceries, and they could come a couple times a month. Well, we didn't want to be in the upper echelons of organization. We just wanted to be available. And so that's basically how it worked out for us. We were taking groceries to people's homes, things like that. And so what was happening between us and Lorenzo during that time was, whenever he talked to someone about us, he would say, Doug and Amy are always available to help. And so that was, through him, we were building integrity.
And that's what this time has really been over the last few years, is just letting the community know that we're there in peace, and that we want to be there to learn, love and serve our city in any way that we can.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask you guys before we wrap up, how can we be praying for you as a church? You guys stay connected, and a lot of people within the church have stayed connected to you since you guys have left. But how can we be praying for you moving forward, and what are you guys really needing help with? Because I also know it has to be difficult going back, leaving your families. So how can we pray for you guys?
Well, transitions are always difficult for our kids especially. So pray over their hearts. They've been in the Italian school for the past 4 years, and we recently just changed them to a new way of schooling. So they're going to be attending a Christian online school for the foreseeable future. And so we just started that this week, and they've been transitioning into a whole new way of doing school. So pray for them in that, and then also how hard it is on their hearts whenever we have to say goodbye. Goodbyes get really tough, and they're very too often in this lifestyle. So over all of our hearts for just transitioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would say also pray for the traction that we are gaining, especially after the harsher months of the pandemic have gone away and masks have come down, life is back in the streets. And so we see a wide open door before us, and we've had some opportunities even before coming back this summer where God was just putting us before leadership in the city and helping us to build relationships with common everyday people, not only in our building, but in different places in the city. So I would just ask that you could pray for us to continue gaining traction with the relationships that have been started.
Last question. How have you seen, because I'm interested with the kids. I mean, they're they've had to give up and sacrifice, unlike a lot, I mean, most American kids. How have you seen your family grow and them mature in this whole process?
I think what we've really seen is a rising up of their voice. They've said to us that when the decision was made to go, they didn't have a whole lot of say in that decision. And the way that they're speaking into their life now, their chief desire is to be heard, to have their hearts heard. And that has been a really beautiful thing, to hear the hearts of our kids. I think we get, in our child raising, we do these things to just try to raise them up and do things. But when they start to really engage in their own faith and in their own experience, to have opinions, to have thoughts, it's a beautiful place to be with our kids. And it's been an incredible season that has really solidified us as a family.
Mm-hmm. And along the journey too, even recently, we've come to know that Zach, for example, maybe on the spectrum with autism, and Story has been struggling with dyslexia. And all three of them feel an aloneness at times, mm-hmm. like differentness, yeah. and awkwardness, even here when they come back for a little bit. And we've been resourced graciously through Grace, through our mission agency, with counseling as a family, and we've received couples counseling also. But for our kids, we feel really proud about the fact that they're aware of their good and struggling points at such an early age, probably more aware than a lot of adults are. So that's something that we're happy about, actually.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk with me today. You know, we love you, and I'm really excited to see what God's going to continue to do with you guys. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and please keep the Williams family in your prayers. I am Ryan Peterson. This has been Voices of Grace.